Well, the date I'd like to talk about, or at least to begin with, is 1916. The place is Detroit. There was this machinist that worked at the Ford Motor Company, and he became a Christian. He was baptized, and he was just so excited. His whole life had changed. And one day, as he was praying, the Holy Spirit began renewing this man, and he became convicted of his need to make restitution for some of the things that he had done. You see, working at the Ford Motor Company, he had slowly taken some parts and some tools. Lack of a better word, he stole them. And so he decided, I'm going to return this stuff. And so the next morning, he brought in all the tools and the parts back to his employer, and he went to his manager, and he explained the change in his life and how he became a Christian and how the Holy Spirit had spoke to him and said, you need to return this stuff. And he said, so here's all the tools and the parts that I've stolen. And this was such an amazing turn of events, such an amazing thing that the manager, he needed to tell Henry Ford. But Henry Ford was at a plant in Europe. And so they cabled the details to him. You remember that old dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee? And he got the message. And he waited for a response. And the response came back. Henry Ford immediately returned the cable. And he said this. Dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. Now. Now, I think Henry may have missed the point. The point wasn't the baptism. The point was the Holy Spirit, the man becoming a Christian. But in the life of a Christian, the act of baptism is very special. But it's one that's often misunderstood. For some, baptism is a requirement for salvation. For others, it serves no purpose at all, so why even bother doing it? Well, baptism is a symbol. Baptism is kind of like my wedding ring. Okay, my wedding ring and baptism are both symbols. Okay, they symbolize a transaction. A wedding ring symbolizes marriage, just as baptism symbolizes salvation. However, wearing a wedding ring does not mean I'm married. Am I right? Anybody can wear a wedding ring. Anybody can put on a ring. In fact, my youngest son, Solomon, we found a little ring around the house, and he was wearing it around on his ring finger just to be like his dad. He says, see, I've got my ring just like you, Dad. Thank goodness he's not married. I'm not ready for that yet. But we know they're too young to be married. It's just a symbol of that transaction. In the same way, a person can be baptized, never having received Christ. They said they did, but they never really understood what they were doing. And they got in there and they were baptized. Or perhaps they were baptized before they understood. Baptism in itself has absolutely no saving power. Did you know that? The scriptures are clear. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The scriptures are very clear in that. We are saved through our faith in Jesus Christ, not through baptism. Baptism is only a symbol of our faith in Jesus Christ. See, the purpose of baptism is that it identifies us openly and publicly with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about those three symbols. Examine the symbol and try to understand what it symbolizes, what it represents. Now, since we've been going through Romans, I felt that Romans was a good place to look. Don't worry, we're not going to skip from the end of chapter 4 all the way to chapter 6. I'm not missing chapter 5. We'll get back to it, I promise. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So did you see it? Baptism symbolizes the death, the burial, the resurrection. And we're going to first take a look at the aspects of death and burial in baptism. See, Jesus died on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins, so that we might have spiritual life for all eternity. We're all supposed to die for our sins. That's what the Bible tells us, that when sin entered this world, so did death. And we're supposed to die for our sins. But Jesus stepped in and he took our place. He took the capital punishment upon himself. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, in the ground, so that you and I might live forever. That we might have salvation. We might have our sins forgiven, if we only believe in him. If we're able to live according to the rules and the regulations of the kingdom of heaven when we crucify ourselves spiritually, or when we take up our cross, as Jesus said, we must crucify our former life of sins in order to identify with Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul expressed it in Galatians 2:20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Christ lives in me. We have been crucified for Christ, or crucified with Christ. He was crucified for me. He was crucified for you. And baptism symbolizes that crucifixion, that we die with him. We see this expressed in Romans 6, verse 6. Our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. See, in baptism, we are placed under the water, or we're covered with water. We're publicly declaring that we have crucified our former life of sin, that sinful nature is being buried. It's not going to come up again. That sinful nature is dead. It's done with. And in baptism, we're making a commitment before God and before all of us who are present that we will seek to live a life apart from sin. It's no longer a part of us. So how does baptism represent the resurrection? Well, Jesus died for our sins, but if he had only died for our sins, where would we be? If he had remained in that tomb, it wouldn't have been sufficient to atone for our sins. Because his death is not what saves us. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ has the power over death, over sin. He is God. The death that we were destined to go to, he took for himself. And since death is the result of the entrance of sin into this world, Jesus Christ has the power over sin in our lives as well. The resurrection shows that Jesus has the power over both death and sin. Is that amazing or what? Yeah? This is everything, isn't it? That Christ came, he lived, he died, was buried, and he rose again. Some days I wish it was Easter every Sunday, because that is, it's so amazing. Well, the resurrection shows that Jesus has a power over death and sin. When we are raised up from the water during baptism, it's symbolic of being resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected from the tomb. It's symbolic of our victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. The symbolism behind baptism is powerful indeed. But we need to realize that when we're being baptized, we're reenacting that glorious morning when Jesus rose from the dead. Have you thought of it that way? Jesus broke free from the tomb, and that through his own very own presence is among us at this very moment. He's here with us. He's living in me. He's living in you as a Christian. That's an amazing thing. And whenever we witness baptism of a fellow brother or sister in Christ, we have the privilege of beholding just a glimmer of what that morning was like. This morning I want to encourage those of you who are Christians, who have already been baptized, to reconsider what the symbolism of baptism is and what it represents and means in your own life. I want you to think about it. Do you just go through the motions, or are you truly living a life that demonstrates that you have been crucified to your sin? It's kind of what Chris was talking about sacrificially living, right? Does your life show that? Does it show that you live in victory, that you have power over the power of the resurrection in your life? Does it show that? If you've been baptized and you're not living according to that testimony, what it represented, then perhaps you need to really stop and think, because you're making a mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you, maybe there's someone here who's not a Christian. I want to first encourage you, accept the free gift of eternal life. A life that is unlike any other. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you become a Christian, everything's perfect. It's not. It's really not. Things don't go always as planned. Ironically, this morning is one of those things. This morning and last week, we mentioned we're going to have 6 baptisms. Got a phone call last night. 4 of them are not coming. But we can celebrate that there are 2 who are coming in faith this morning. If you're not a Christian, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you truly believe that Jesus died for your sins and He rose from the dead in order to conquer sin and death, then you will be saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Accept Christ in your heart. Claim Him as your Savior. Identify yourself with Christ. This morning, we still have 2 who have chosen to symbolically crucify their life, representing dying to sin, by being buried with Him in the waters of baptism, and being resurrected with Him as well, rising from the water. So this morning, I'm going to call Robert. Robert Carr, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and we'll come to this corner right over here. How many of you may know Robert and how he's been struggling this last while. Been struggling with his own health. And he said to me this morning, actually, Robert, you want to share a little? can I get you to talk a little bit? You can try. You said this morning that the devil really didn't want you here this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
But you told me what? That you were coming.
Matter if he drove a steamroller over me, I was still coming here.
Still coming here. Praise God for that. Now, I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. First of all, what's your name?
Robert Carr.
Robert Carr. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes, He is.
And are you coming to be baptized out of your own free will?
Yes.
And I know you want to be baptized. I know you really wanted to get in this tank, didn't you?
Yes.
You did, but we just can't get you in there. You're just not able to climb these stairs and do it. But we've got provision to pour water over your head this morning as a baptism, and as a symbol of you dying and crucifying. And so this morning, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you, Robert Allen Carr, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, I got to move this one out of the way. We got one more. I just baptized Robert Allen Carr, and now I'm going to call Robert Allen Schwartz. Oh, he doesn't want to come. I'm just joking. You coming, Bob? Roll on up here. Don't forget the shampoo. Okay. Okay, he's just turning around.
I see you take off.
Right there. Perfect. You want to sit for a minute? Okay, good. I got a couple questions for you. You can sit while I ask them, okay? Okay. What's your name?
Robert.
What's your full name?
Robert Schwartz.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
And do you come to be baptized of your own free will?
Yes, I do.
And is there anything else you want to tell us?
No.
No? Okay. All right, can we get you a stand? All right, you ready? Robert Allen Schwartz, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.